Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, November the 20th. We're just, 48 hours away from Thanksgiving and the wonderful day that is. I hope you join us, by the way, on the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday. We're going to do our annual Thanksgiving show with our friend Frank Burke. You know, Frank is an author, a businessman, and he always joins us around holidays, and he does a reading. And, of course, this year, the reading will be about Thanksgiving, and you're going to enjoy it a great deal. So keep an eye on that on the show Wednesday, November the 21st. Well, what a day for news. It just seems to be every day. That we don't have any slow days anymore, it seems, in the news. Today we're going to talk about a post that I have coming out Wednesday regarding Venezuela and the problems that they're having with the internet. It's a very interesting problem down there. We're also going to remember a great American, a Marine, a great baseball player, and someone who saved the American flag, and I'll tell you the story in just a minute. Let's look at a couple of stories that are in the news today. First of all, I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning, Tuesday morning, talking about 2020. I think there's a lot of premature, pure guessing going on regarding 2020. 2020 and 2018 are about as related as, I don't know, not really very related in my opinion, because the issues in 2020 are not going to be the issues we have now. The personalities are going to be completely different. And the point that I make in my post over at the American Thinker is that I really believe that what we saw in 2018 was like the very best the Democrats could do. It was like the top of their performance. They basically threw everything they had at President Trump. It was a very personal campaign against President Trump in 2018. It was really out to get Trump. They got the House, no question about it. Not by a huge margin. They're only going to have a majority of maybe 15 to 20, which is not that big of a majority, but it is a majority. But they couldn't get the Senate. And the Senate, of course, is still under Republican control. And I think the Senate is going to be doing a lot of things to it with President Trump. 2020 is going to be totally different. And I'm sure as we get into 2020, you'll see exactly what I mean. A couple of other interesting stories. President Obama is really being critical of President Trump, almost on a personal level. These two men obviously don't like each other very much, and they're attacking each other. Now, look, President Trump has attacked President Obama, so I'm not trying to say that it's all President Obama's fault. But in the past, we've had a tradition that the ex-president basically gets out of politics. President Obama likes to be on stage, and he clearly wants to defend his presidency, and he's now attacking President Trump, I think, on a very personal level, in a way that we have not seen before. I think it would be better for President Obama to stop doing this. He didn't have a very good record in this last election of the people that he campaigned for did not win, whether it's Florida, whether it's Georgia. He didn't really get out the Democrat vote the way they thought he was going to. And as a consequence, I think he's angry about that. He's obviously angry at President Trump. But I think these two men need to stop criticizing each other. They need to stop talking about each other. And that's just the way it is. And especially the ex-president. Nobody remembers President Bush attacking President Obama like this. And believe me, I'm sure there were many times when President Bush wished he could have defended himself with all of the things that were being said about him. But, you got to have a little presidential dignity. And right now, when you see President Obama saying some of the things that he's saying about President Trump, that's not a good idea, Mr. President. Just stop it. And work on your library, spend some time with your daughters, whatever it may be. But you shouldn't be out there in the partisan arena as a former president. Now, here's an interesting one. Here's an interesting one out of the news, too. The House Democrats are going to look into Ivanka Trump using a personal email account. Now, isn't that interesting? Apparently she did. I'm not defending that. I think it's pretty stupid for anybody at this stage of the game to be using an email account or a personal email account. So if Ivanka did it, that's pretty stupid on her part. But, you know, they're going to investigate this thing. Yeah, they're going to really go in and investigate Ivanka Trump because she used a personal email account to do some, you know, public business. Does anybody remember somebody else who had a personal email account and a private server? Her name is Hillary Clinton. Were the Democrats that outraged about her? I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And here's another very interesting bit of news. This is fascinating to me. You know, a lot of people are cutting their cable or satellite connections. Well, in the last year, cable TV lost 293,000 accounts, and satellite TV lost 726,000. This is a story that I just saw a couple of hours ago. That's almost a million people who've decided to stop subscribing to some kind of cable, satellite or cable. And what are they replacing it with? Well, I guess streaming. Other forms of TV. I mean, that's fascinating. At those numbers, I think those companies are not going to be around long if they keep losing members or subscriptions like that. That's pretty interesting to me. Well, one more thing. We have another judge. We have another judge in San Francisco. Where else? Who's decided that he is the commander-in-chief, you know? He's the commander-in-chief. He's going to tell the President of the United States what he or he cannot do with respect to national security. Well, you know, we have a tradition in the United States rooted in our Constitution, obviously, where the President of the United States is the commander-in-chief. He's the one who makes national security decisions. The Congress writes the laws, the President enforces them, and the President has decided that having this caravan of people seeking asylum represents a threat, a national security threat to the country. He's acting on those powers. So here's a judge out of San Francisco saying, you cannot do that. Now, the amazing thing to me is that this judge does not get intelligence briefing. He doesn't get a national security briefing. He's just a judge who is looking at all of this, and he's saying, I'm going to stop this because I don't like President Trump. Well, that's not what judges do. That's not what judges do. I hope that this particular opinion by the judge goes up the ladder and gets blown up like the other one was. Look, President Trump is the president of the United States. He's the commander in chief. He's the chief executive. He's accountable to the people. Something the judge is not accountable to the people because he's in for life. But President Trump has to seek re-election. He has a party that is accountable. And I just think some of these judges need to stop interfering with his work. If they don't like what he's doing, then they need to resign from the bench and run for president. And then they can, you know, they can do whatever they want. They can propose whatever they want. But I think it's absolutely despicable for judges. By the way, these are the same judges who had no trouble whatsoever with DACA. Okay, they had no trouble with DACA. But now they're finding all kinds of ways of stopping President Trump. I think it's absolutely despicable, and I hope that the Supreme Court comes down very hard on these judges who've decided to play politics rather than be judges. I think it's absolutely, absolutely despicable. Well, we're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule right there under the show description. Click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule. We also have a link for my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer. If you're looking for a car, check out what he's got to offer you. Well, we say happy number 73 to a baseball player, Rick Mundy. Now, we usually say happy birthday to baseball players, or we remember them. But this fellow did something very special besides being a pretty good baseball player. On the field, he was what they like to call in professional sports, he was a real professional. He was the guy who, you know, put on the uniform every day. He played hard. He gave you everything that he had. He was a pretty decent baseball player. He put together some good numbers, not Hall of Fame by any means, not a great player, but he was a good player. He was the kind of guy that you wanted to have on your team because he always played hard, gave you the best, and represented himself as well as anybody has. Well, in April of 1976, Rick Monday was playing for the Cubs at the time. He was a center fielder for the Cubs. When he went out between innings to warm up, you know, he was warming up with the right fielder like the outfielders usually do. And he was warming up out there, and he noticed a couple of guys had jumped on the field, and they were going to burn an American flag. They had gasoline match, and they were getting ready to burn an American flag. So Rick Monday ran over, grabbed the American flag, saved the flag, and by the time, you know, he did that, he ran all the way to the other side of the field. By that time, security had jumped on the field, and they arrested the two idiots who were trying to burn the flag. And as it turned out, the flag was not burned, but Rick Monday became a national hero because of that. And that's why we say happy number 73 to Rick Monday today, who was not only a great baseball player, a good baseball player, somebody that you wanted to have on your team, but on this day, as a former Marine and as a Patriot, he saved the American flag. So we say again, happy number 73 to Rick Monday. I hope you're enjoying your day, Mr. Monday. I have a post coming out Wednesday morning about what is happening in Venezuela. If any of you have friends or here in the United States or down in Venezuela, you may have noticed that it's becoming almost impossible to contact them by internet, whether it's telephone internet or video internet or the social media or whatever. It's becoming very difficult to talk to these people. From time to time, I've done some podcasts with people from Venezuela, and we often don't even know if we're going to go on the air because the internet is not working or the phone lines are not working. I mean, basically, they're making it very difficult for the people of Venezuela to communicate with each other within the country, of course, and then to communicate with people outside the country, their families, their relatives, or even the media that will call in for interviews, as we've tried to do on some of our podcasts here. And I've come to the conclusion, and that's what my post tomorrow morning is all about, I've come to the conclusion that this is just a simple case of censorship. The government of Venezuela is basically holding back or pulling back connectivity and connections on the internet, and they're doing so to keep people disconnected, I guess if I could put it that way. They don't want people in Venezuela talking to each other or talking to people here in the United States or somewhere else. So it's a form of censorship, and they borrowed the idea from none other than Cuba and Castro. One of the things that the Castro regime used to do from time to time is to shut off the lights. And the reason why they shut off the lights is so that people couldn't listen to the radio. They couldn't listen to the radio from Miami, or they couldn't listen to Radio Martí, or they couldn't listen to anything outside of the country. They couldn't even use the phone to contact each other. They would shut down. Of course, they would blame it on the weather. They would blame it on a machine that broke down or whatever. But they used to happen with such frequency that you had to believe that it was a premeditated activity. And that's what's happening in Venezuela. They are basically shutting down the internet and making it impossible for the internet to work. And the way they're doing it is by just not providing service or making the service so unworkable that people just have no way of communicating. And this is what they're doing. It's their own form of censorship. And frankly, it's just another reason, one more reason, why I think this government has to go. This government has to be replaced. And it's up to, as I've said many times, it's up to the governments of Latin America to get their act together and begin to do something about this Maduro regime. There's simply no excuse for having a government like this in one of the most important countries in Latin America. There's simply no excuse to do what is happening in that country, the humanitarian crisis in that country. There's just no excuse to tolerate this Maduro government anymore. Thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.